Happy Father's Day. Is that going to say it back to me? Okay. I think that fathers are pretty cool. And it's not just the part where we get to sit down with our kids and say, you've got some explaining to do. There's a whole lot more to being a father and why I think being a father is cool and why fathers are cool. But we can talk all about that later during coffee hour because we've got an awful lot of food. And the Rosenfelders and Nigel Barnhill have put that together, and I think a few other people. So go to coffee hour afterwards. But right now, we have this sermon thing to endure. So let's start with what God said to Isaiah, to tell the people in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, the second part. He said, tell the people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Then we look at the words of Jesus from Matthew 13 and earlier in Mark 4, just before our reading. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen but never understand. You will indeed look but never perceive. For the people's heart has grown dull and their ears are hard of hearing and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart in turn, and I would heal them. Mark 4, 11 and 12, Jesus said, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look. And then when we get to the end of this reading today, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. So there it is in very plain language that Jesus divided people into those who would understand and those who would not, right? I see it right there. But is that enough? Is that all there is? Jesus taught in parables so that only some could get it while others were left out. It doesn't sound like the whole message of Jesus. And I've heard this Isaiah passage that I talked about first, say, and Jesus quoting it, saying that there will always be people who will reject what God's followers have to say, but that we have to continue to say it anyway. I've also heard that the rejection is a test to see if we're really following God's call. I've heard it say that God hardens some hearts and lets others be open. I've heard that when Jesus quoted these words, he was necessarily excluding some people from ever receiving this good news. And in the past, I've also thought that the verses were meant to chide those who ought to know better and still turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the needs of those who are being persecuted, or moved to the fringe, or unloved. Bible scholars offer all of those. Let me offer another suggestion. I don't think that any of those thoughts are complete in what the verses say and how Jesus used them. I think that what the verse in Isaiah says, the two verses and what Jesus says, instead of being this exclusion, instead of being this chiding, instead of being something that says you're not going to get it, it's an invitation. The hearers of the word would hear that and say, there's something more. There's something that I don't get now, but I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to find out what it is. An invitation to dig deeper and discover more about what the Bible passages mean. I think that the parables that Jesus told, as Thomas said, these earthly stories or regular stories with a hidden meaning, or as Krista referred to it as earthly stories with heavenly meaning. I think that the parables that Jesus told invited the listener to search for more because they were confused at the first hearing. And I think that those who heard the words of Isaiah and the other prophets were invited to continue searching for more that would be revealed through God as they contemplated, as they studied, as they discussed and prayed about what they had heard. I think that those words from Isaiah, the words being quoted in Matthew 13 and Mark 4, are verses that invite us to learn more. They don't invite us to sit on our hands, but instead to look with our eyes, listen with our ears, comprehend with our minds, and turn away and be healed. That verse that Jesus said there in Mark 4, 11 and 12, and also in Matthew 13, verse 15. They're words that invite us to realize, as John Robinson did, the one who was standing there too sick to go with the pilgrims to the New World, but said those words that have become famous in the United Church of Christ now and throughout the world, actually, those words that he said, God has yet more light and truth to break forth out of his holy word. God has yet more light and truth to break forth out of his holy word. In this week's scripture passage, Jesus tells parables, and they're about farming and about how plants grow, and he talks about the mustard seed and the large plant that forms from it. And you've often heard the phrase, the faith of a mustard seed, referring to how our little faith can do great things, how God can take what we offer and do wonderful things with it. But I find an interest in a verse that's right at the end of the reading, 33 and 34. The explanation that Jesus always talked to the people with riddle talk, parables, but Jesus would do further explanation to the disciples in private, as if to say there is more. There's more to learn, there's more to understand, there's more to seek. When he talked about those things with his disciples, I don't think he was doing it to exclude those who weren't in that inner fold of 12 or 70 or however many people he was talking to at the time. I think that Jesus was involved in this small group, and he was doing what is a form of midrash. And midrash is, it's actually, midrash has to do with scripture, and Jesus wasn't quoting scripture yet. You know, it would become scripture later, but you know, it wasn't yet. It was just parables. But midrash considers several ways of looking at a passage. There's this direct meaning, what you see when you first read it. There's hints. What does it kind of spark in you? What are the hints that it alludes to? There's an interpretation or an exegesis. There's digging really deep into that and finding what's underneath the meaning. What does the culture inform it? What are all these things? In seminary, we, you know, tear up Bible passages and try to find what's the deeper meaning about that. And you don't have to be in seminary to do that. You look at it, you study it, you talk about it. And then there's the mystical meaning, that hidden, that secret meaning that we may never get, or maybe we do get it. The parables had that mystical meaning. Scripture midrash looks at a text from several angles, tries to really chew on things and seek deeper and deeper and deeper meaning. And Jesus' discussions with his disciples, whether it was just him teaching and saying, I'm telling you this and I want you to believe it, or if there was, I'm saying this, and the disciples saying, but Jesus, what about this? I don't get this. I think there had to be some kind of discussion going on there. The teaching, the discussion, took on that midrash flavor. And when Jesus explained things to the disciples in private, he didn't exclude others. I think he was inviting the disciples to dig deeper into the meaning of the parables, and then others would follow in that search just as the disciples guided them. He was teaching the disciples the process because they were going to have to do it too. He sent them out, a group of 70, to do that. He sent them out after he had left to go and to teach and to preach and to baptize. I think Jesus' example of digging deeper into the stories with the disciples, it further supports the idea that the stories weren't meant to turn people away or to confuse them to the point of giving up. They were an invitation to learn more. Learning more, digging deeper, considering that there is more to understand, something that is so important to our faith growth. When we read the Bible, when we listen to sermons, when we attend Sunday school, participate in Bible study, devotions, discuss it with our friends, we're in that process of seeking more than what is simply on the surface, simply more than what we can see at the first glance. So really, taking a look, listening to a sermon once, taking a look at a Bible verse once, looking at a passage for an hour once a week, like we do at church. It really isn't enough to really dig deeper. It's not that God can't reveal something through that, but I think Jesus' example calls for more. It calls for us to do more, to seek that deeper meaning. God's desire, I believe, for us is to continue to engage the Scripture so that our faith will flourish, so that it will deepen. I also know that one of the side effects when that happens, when we look at passages, when we dig deeper in it, when we truly study it, do you know what really happens? We get ourselves in trouble. Because all of a sudden, we're reading and we're saying, wow, there's something more to this than I first thought. It's the kind of going deeper from a really easy thing that told people back in the 1860s, in the 1850s, when the United Church of Christ, which wasn't the UCC yet, but the Congregationalists spoke out against slavery because they read one passage and said that doesn't make sense with the spirit of the Bible. People were using just the surface. It got us in trouble when we were abolitionists. It got us in trouble when we first ordained a woman, the first woman ordained in the modern era. It got us in trouble when we ordained a person of color. It got us in trouble when we stood with conscientious objectors during World War II and Vietnam. It got us in trouble when we stood with Cesar Chavez and marched with the migrant farm workers in California in the 80s and in the 70s. It got us in trouble when the UCC ordained an openly gay man. Got us in trouble when we took a stand against the Berlin Wall in 1991. Got us in trouble just very recently when the Illinois Conference just voted, not without difficulty, not without discussion, not without disagreement, but to call on our government to establish a more humane and just immigration policy. It gets us in trouble, too, when we disagree on how digging deeper into the Scriptures has inspired us to address difficult and controversial issues. Because here in this room, just the things that I said, some of them are easy to say, oh yeah, there's one side to that issue. But other things, people are like, well, I don't necessarily agree with what you think or that thinking. And we're reading the same Bible, and there's the same Holy Spirit rounding around here, and we're studying and talking to friends, and we're coming up with different conclusions. It gets us in trouble when we dig deeper into the Scriptures. And then what we do and how we address controversial, these wedge issues, as we use the Bible as a basis for our movement. Now, it doesn't have to get us in trouble. Even the simple message of God's extravagant love for everyone can get us in trouble, though, can it? It just because digging deeper into the Scriptures can and sometimes or even does get us in trouble, I believe God desires for us to engage, to wrestle with, to ask questions of, to really, really, really study the Bible. But you may ask, it's summertime. We don't do that in the summertime. How can we get that done? It's summertime. We go to church, but there's no Sunday school. There's no midweek Bible study. There's nothing going on. So here are some suggestions to really dig deeper into the Bible, to ask questions, to wrestle. Spend the next week reading the same scripture passage every day. Pick one. You can pick this morning's Mark 4, 26 through 34. You can pick next week's Mark 4, 35 to 41. Every day look for something else that stands out at you, something that jumps out at you. Ask questions about what stands out. If you're just by yourself, you're just asking questions of yourself, you're searching, you're contemplating, that's one way to do it. How about gather with a few friends? All of you have friends in your neighborhood. Ask them. Say, would you read this and tell me what you think about it? Ask the same questions to them. Listen to what they've experienced. Ask them to do the same thing. Read this every day. Let's talk about it just for 5 minutes every day to see what is different. What is going on? How are we experiencing that? Or how about this one? Controversy. Go to a religiously themed movie like The Da Vinci Code or The Omen. Two movies that are out in theaters right now. You could go see End of the Spear. I think that may come out on video soon. Or The Second Chance. Those were two that weren't as controversial. But go see any of those movies and then search the internet or the library or talk with friends about ways to think about the faith issues that are exposed as a result of seeing those films. You don't have to get angry when movies come out that challenge our faith or that say things that are completely contrary or only slightly contrary to our faith. We can engage those things. We can learn as the result of seeing them and talking about them. Here's one. It was in The Voice this week. How many of you got The Voice? How many of you read it? Wait, you didn't get The Voice, but you read it. Oh, okay. You just didn't raise your hand the first time. So, okay. All right. In The Voice, there's an article about i.ucc.org. And go to the Opening the Bible section. Tomorrow morning, there should be a new reflection that focuses on Mark 4, 35 to 41. The passage that Neil will preach on next week. There are short Bible studies or short reflections on scriptures for the last 14 weeks in there. You could study on what this sermon was about. You could study on something from 5 or 6 weeks ago. But you can go there and just engage that. Now, the reason I bring that up, okay, it's only slightly selfish because I write for that. I'm part of the i.ucc, they call them iGuides. We're just a group of pastors who write things and post things and articles. But if you like to go into online communities on the internet and just spend time reading on the internet, go there. I think it's well worth your while. And I'm not the only one that writes there, so there's other people that are way smarter than I am that write some neat things too. Call the church office. Send an email. Stop in and talk with us. Neil and I cannot give you the final word on what you're thinking or what you're reading. We can't say, well, this is what it is, and that's the way it is. Therefore, what we have said is what God has said. It's not like that. Neil and I love to talk, love to engage, love to hear your questions. I want to hear people come after the sermon and say, I opened up my Bible and I saw this part here and I disagree with what you said. And the part that I'm going to hear is, I opened up my Bible. I'll hear the rest of it, but I want you to open up your Bible and dig deeper into it and think about it. I want people to get angry that there are youth on the front lawn smoking and reading the Bible. And the part I'm going to hear is, they're reading the Bible while they're smoking. Not requiring kids to smoke to read the Bible, but you know, that's happened before. Call the church office. Talk to us. I hope we can provide more for you to ponder as you seek to learn what God is revealing. Now, there are many other opportunities for you to dig deeper into the scriptures this week. And I want you to tell me them. What are they? What can you do? I know that's hard. I'm just throwing you right on the spot. And one of you just yawned. What can you do to dig deeper into the scriptures?
Ask questions.
Ask questions. What else? Go ahead.
Listen to Christian radio.
They have a lot of things just in between the songs where they talk. And you may disagree or agree, but they're things to think about and things to help you. What else? Go to a Bible study. Did you know that just because St. Matthew doesn't have a midweek Bible study during the summertime, that doesn't mean that there aren't any. There are some. You could establish one. That was the getting together with friends. You could say, we're going to start a Bible study this week. Who's going to do that? You might. What else could you do?
Read Max Lucado.
Read Max Lucado. Tells things so wonderfully. A lot of different authors that you can read to help to ask questions. You could come into the Ron Miller parlor and we've got commentaries there. You could just start reading the commentaries. They're long. You could spend all week. Yes, Marilyn.
I'd like
Hans Kunz. I read a book, or almost finished a book, I didn't quite finish it, on contemplative youth ministry. It's on contemplative ministry. It's about thinking and silence that has a similar flavor. And Henry Nouwen is one that does that can help us to think deeper. St. Francis of Assisi, you know, the mystics.
There's some wonderful ones, but you don't have to get into, you know, there may be one style of book that really speaks to you. Other people may have others. It's okay to just read the Bible. It's a good thing. You could just read the Bible. So many different ideas. And as you come up with these, oh, there's another one. Pam. The Ragamuffin Gospel. Yes. Kind of an inspiration to... he wrote Awesome God. What's his name? Rich Mullins. Yeah. Any others? Nikki, go ahead. Messy spirituality. God's love for imperfect people. Anybody imperfect? I love for people to regularly come in, to call, to email, to ask Neil or to ask me to talk to them about a particular passage, to talk to them about something that they've been thinking about. Love to have us explore the direct meaning, to explore hints, to explore interpretation, to explore more mystical looks at Scripture. Love for us to engage each other and engage the Bible. So let's continue. Let's continue to seek deeper meaning. What the still speaking God reveals. We can expect that throughout our lives, God will continue to have some explaining to do. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are active, that you are alive, that you continue to reveal to us, continue to reveal through all sorts of ways. You continue to ask us to study, to dig deeper, to see that there is more light yet to break forth from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.